This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
And welcome to the NXT Review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another Dudley Boy, Michael Hamler from What Culture to Review. Everything that happened on this week's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube, where we do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamler to review last night's NXT. Get well soon to Michael Sidgwick. This might be one of my favourite shows of all time.
It's just, I used a comparison last week about how NXT is like ordering a lot of ice cream talk today. It's like ordering a chocolate orange and bubblegum ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't work. Many people would suggest it doesn't work. Even after tasting it would think, this is not quite right. But it just, I don't know, like I want certain things out of my wrestling each day of all the stuff that we cover and all the stuff I would watch by choice, even if we weren't covering it. And it just continues to corned beef scratch that itch, you know? It is really a one-of-a-kind experience over 2 hours. And I say this with increasing regularity, as NXT is starting, I just sit back and relax in a way that I don't ahead of another show kicking off.
Mm.
It is a different feeling when I tune into this. Often complete bollocks. I love it.
Yeah, I don't want to do the whole AW NXT comparison thing but they had the wrestling buffet, weren't they? They had all different types of wrestling across that show.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different kind of wrestling buffet, isn't it?
Yes, and my kind of buffet, because it's extremely low on quality, very high on quantity, and quite cheap. So, like, it's a buffet I would pick, given the choice.
But there is some great stuff in there, which we will get into. Starting off with, in fact, Wes Lee, who opened this show. Great to see him back, genuinely. They had a video recapping all of his awesome moments with the North American Championship and then that heartbreaking bit where he had to forfeit the title and you thought, is he ever going to come back, really? But he says he's ready to get back to work. And then you see him wiping away the tears, walking through a line of wrestlers who are cheering him on as he returns to the ring. And he says, I've missed this. It feels good to be home. And he comes out to work the first match with Josh Briggs. Just lovely to see this.
Yeah, it was one of those things where, like, wrestling doesn't have to do things sometimes, but you're glad when it does. Like, certain matches or moments or whatever just require that little bit of extra finessing. And Wesley's comeback last week, it's very much a, you know, you probably did miss it. NXT's numbers aren't amazing or anything. So if you happen to be tuning in this week and you're not completely caught up on how this guy's made such a miraculous recovery, you're given that, plus this, like, earnestly quite feel-good sight of a bunch of wrestlers, who, by the way, I don't know any of them, but, like, all slapping him on the back, saying, it's just great to have you home, all this kind of thing. It's, like, it felt real for how set up and staged it was. You could tell in his eyes it was authentic, and I quite like that. I was like, they didn't need to do it, but they did. And I like, it makes you realize that, oh, here's a guy that you need to care about and pay attention to. And, you know, it, like, gave Josh Briggs the chance to do, like, this extra weird strut on the way to the ring, like, I don't care about Josh Andrews. It's like, I know you've turned heel, but you haven't turned arsehole.
Like, yeah, he had
relishing, like, back in the hospital.
More of an edge to him. He started off basically by being like, recently repaired back, is it? I guess I'll kick you square in it then.
Yeah.
Jesus, Josh.
Giving that bike a chain off the dead man or something like that.
In the end, Lee fired up, kicked him out to the floor, but missed the slingshot dive. Briggs missed a boot and then just hoied him into the apron instead. They go back in. Wesley hit a Hurricane Rana. Briggs goes out to the floor and he gets hit with the head scissors. Ivar comes out as the cardiac kick gets countered into a backbreaker to take us to a break. None of the Viking stuff here. No. Just street Ivar.
Yeah.
They return from the break and Ivar's doing guest commentary, which was a very weird sight.
Yeah, he's already come out looking like he's an Aces and Eights, and now he's just completely like hanging out with Vic and Booker, basically.
Briggs targeted Lee's back.
Sorry, I did like how Vic Joseph went for the handshake and I was just like, yes, I'm happy to be here too. I meant this in a way.
Lee made a comeback though, dived through the ropes onto Briggs.
See people go for a high five and they just get left. It's excruciating, isn't it?
Like, almost what I played, did that five aside. I did that five aside. And the other day, and I almost walked off the pitch. The lad came over and I was like, all right, man, good to see you. And he just walked off and I went,
feel good.
let's get the win today.
Feel alive.
So they fight on the outside, dive through the ropes from Wesley onto Briggs. They're basically at the feet of Ivar, who gets up, and then Briggs just gets drop kicked into him. Sent back inside, Wesley hits the spiral tap for the win, shining in his in-ring comeback. And then Briggs and Ivar start brawling, and Lee takes them all out with a big flip dive out of the ring. And we see the North American champion, Obafemi, watching from the Eagle's Nest thing and smiles, enjoying what he sees here.
Yeah, you know, Shawn Michaels, Triple H, SummerSlam 2002, or Kenny Omega in the sort of trios comeback of 22, whenever, when they're kind of doing the slow build to the, Shawn's back, Triple H, don't. I know it's a fight, but don't target that weak spot. Save it. Drag that out, and then it'll maximize the impact. It'll mean more when it happens. Yeah, they ignored the agent of that completely. This was like almost entirely based around his back, neck, and spine, and just how much damage not only could he absorb, but he can inflict upon himself with his offense. And you kind of have to admire the gumption of that sort of booking, don't you? Because wrestlers tempt fate sometimes, and fate. Well, tells them where to go, basically. Yeah. So I kind of quite like that they just, it wasn't just Wesley's back and he's putting his life and career on the line. Like that one more bump and it could all go wrong for him again. It was like, no, I'm back and I'm better than everybody and watch me prove it. I'm RoboCop now, in fact. So I quite like that as a bit of a different stance on it. He's gone from being happy to be there to feeling like he's had something taken from him. And I think that's good for the Wesley character, especially because basically he's accepting the challenge of much bigger men. All these three guys, that he's now sort of in a battle with are giants out there, but he's got to show that, it doesn't matter the size of the dog, it's the size of the fight in the dog or whatever.
Yeah, it's if you enjoyed the triple threat of standard liberal yoy, what about if we do that again with Ivar now and with a high flyer hoid into the mix as well?
They can throw him around, but they don't know what he can sort of withstand, yeah.
So I don't know whether this is going to be a triple threat to determine the number one contender, or they'll just go a fatal four-way at the next premium live event.
Yeah. I mean, because they've got about three, 4 weeks. What's that called again? I can't remember.
I believe it's called NXT Battleground. You're grounded. Battleground. Blink Mom.
Sorry. Wait. It's in Las Vegas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So what's the PLE called?
The full title is NXT Battleground. You're grounded. Battlegrounded. Blame my arm. You're a winner. Right, before we go any further, we have to address the elephant in the room. Oh, all right, Nelly. Shout out to Callum Lambert from Melbourne, who says, I hope you enjoy the ability to battleground the other Dadley boys with this fit. I can't wait to see Sidgwick's reaction to this bad boy. Don't worry, we'll get him next week.
Nobody tell him. Nobody tell him online, please.
PLE equals premium live outfit from Callum Lambert. Callum, thank you so much for this.
Thank you, Callum.
I'll add it to the costumes. I think so. He just says premium outfit, but I need to put something in the L there. So.
Oh, that's good. Thank you, Callum.
I said to you before, do you reckon people notice I'm wearing dog tags?
I did like the attention to detail. You could tell your performing arts past where you suddenly realised nobody's going to believe the child character in this bit if the dog tag's sticking out. So backwards hat, dog tag straight.
Phil said to put the hat backwards.
Very, very smart. Very smart.
Didn't even see you put the shades on. I don't know how you did that.
You must feel better now. Like, there's a lot of pressure going at these podcasts when you have to, like, perform as somebody else. So you must feel glad that's done. And
oh, God, yeah. I don't like that. That was a weird sensation.
Yeah.
We get a recap of NXT Underground from last week. And before we get to the match that follows on from that, we see Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont, who were backstage there with like Hank and Tank, and the tag champs are, of course, Nathan Fraser.
When I'm playing in Windows.
Axiom.
That's because he's so fast. Come on.
They're like, oh, I'd quite like a tag title shot, you know, one day.
Proper like normal chats in the normal locker room, this, isn't it?
And the No Quarter Catch crew come along and say, oh, wait your turn. And I thought, what the hell's going on here? I thought we were doing Heritage Cup stuff with the family.
Did you notice Charlie Dempsey officially this week? He might have done this previously, but they're all so boring you sometimes can't tell.
Yeah.
Like, he officially dropped NQCC as a thing now. But like, it sounds like an exam board or something, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Like, have you done your NQCC test yet? I'm level 4. What? Bottle of piss straight away.
Anyway, in come the OC to congratulate the tag champs on getting rid of all the tag teams from Raw and SmackDown and what have you. And they offer them a 2-sweet, but they say we're good and we walk off. And Gallus says that's why they're going to take the tag team titles off them.
I sure hope they don't. I really hope they don't. This show needs Nathan Fraser and Axiom for 2 reasons. The matches are genuinely great. And at this point, I would miss them terribly. We've lost a lot of good soldiers from this show of late. I would miss those two on Tuesdays.
Mm. Then we got Shayna Baszler versus Carmen Petrovic, the people on the outside for the NXT Underground match last week, of course. Mm-hmm. Love Carmen's entrance.
Yeah. Cartoon to real life.
So good.
It's great. It's high-tech stuff.
Baszler.
What are you laughing for, Nicholas?
Baszler targeted Petrovic's arm.
She cuts through the animation as if cutting through a realm.
Baszler.
Yes, comment section. We do need to get Adam Nicholas a microphone.
Yeah. Baszler trapped her arm in the support beam under the ring and just battered it, basically.
There was a
brief comeback from Petrovic. She got some near falls on Baszler, went up top, and then just jumped basically straight into a Kira Fuda clutch for the submission victory for Shayna.
Simple but effective, because they had that thing where they must have had a chat beforehand, or Petrovic just knows this about herself, I guess, where like her arm can be bent in such a way that it looks like unnatural.
So like Bliss used to be able to. Yeah.
Like, so when Shayna, like, specifically, it's quite a difficult spot to explain if you haven't watched it, and I imagine plenty of people watching this haven't watched it, but Shayna Baszler pulls the ring skirt down and the ring support has a bunch of these like metal
girders. Yeah.
And she like puts the arm in between the girder, but it's already bent backwards.
Yeah.
So when she like yanks it, certain websites, against that metal, it looks extra painful.
Mm.
So she then has only got the use of her educated feet, as JR might say. So the kicks are impressive. Shayna's scared of those because there was that awesome spot.
So
they played up to the fact that Shayna's got a bit of a guard up for these kicks now. Not a bad little TV match, considering how simple the story was. I quite like this Petrovic, Natalia, Shayna, Lola Vice quartet, because like after the match, Lola Vice just was like, success dance! And Shayna's like, will you f***ing stop it? We lost.
But then we get a recap of Fallon Henley turning on Thea Hale last week, which gets bumped out of the way when JJ all celebrate. Out of the way,
you.
And Kalani's watching this in the back and says, I can't believe she'd do that. They're having a very normal conversation in the women's locker room, as always.
Yeah, again, just a normal straight line of women sat in front of normal lockers and cameras.
But they cleared up the logic hole. She said, I nearly smacked her during the combine.
Yes.
They have to coexist around that, of course.
Yeah.
Fallon walks in and says, why didn't you? And Kalani's like, well, I thought we were friends. Fallon says, that's the problem. I thought about all my friends, but now I'm out for myself, basically, is what she says.
Oh, it's a shame, isn't it? Like, she's dropped her new catchphrase as part of turning heel.
Mm-hmm.
Fallon comes first.
She sure does.
What, you mean like in terms of her success as a wrestler?
Yeah.
She's not experienced it on the roster.
Oh, we haven't got anyone else to explain how what else that could
be. So that's definitely
mean.
What that means.
Yeah.
But then, like... Right.
If you're listening, by the way, just check out the see a review video on the What Culture Wrestling podcast channel, which, by the way, reminds me, big announcement. We've got some big things coming to YouTube in the next few days. On Thursday, we'll be releasing the footage. Thursday, we will be releasing the footage of the podcast segment of our live show, It's Always Sunny at What Culture. But the date you need to remember, Michael Hamlet, as everyone is... People are saying...
people are coming up to me in the airports and they're saying Hamlet. What's the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
We started this yesterday and it's been trending ever since.
Nicholas has probably seen it on X already, but it's...
In case you haven't, Nicholas, the catchphrase is, of course... Remember, the 10th of May. Because 3 p.m. on Friday is when we're releasing the whole live show on the What Culture Wrestling channel.
I'm sweating.
The whole It's Always Sunny at What Culture is going to go out 3 p.m. Friday on the What Culture Wrestling YouTube channel. So do join us for that because it'll be straight after Wrestle Culture on Friday.
What's that catchphrase afternoon. Again?
Remember, the 10th of May. First montage of the NXT Combine.
Yes.
Speed, power, strength, conditioning. You got to do a sled push, a 10-yard spring, an in-ring shuttle drill. And Kalani and Thea Hale are in the lead at this point.
Yeah, for those that haven't watched NXT, the Combine is a series of drills that they were doing in the Performance Center, but now with the purpose of being timed. And you see Ava, she hasn't got a surname, she's a rock star and the general manager of NXT, taking notes.
No.
Is that Ava checking in? God, that was a far better promo. No, the idea of which obviously determined who's the best of the best of the best of the best. Honestly, right? I didn't need edited clips of these combine montages. I'd have just taken 2 hours of this. Like NXT Performance Center Ninja Warrior.
Yeah, if they released the full footage, I'd watch that.
Yeah, like the high jump one in particular, the vertical leap.
Yeah.
One.
They have to hit the things.
Yeah. It's impressive. They are like.
You ever read the Brock Lesnar's ones from when he was in college? He's a freak. He's an absolute freak.
This is the thing, right? You watch this combine footage, like, they are impressive athletes. And sometimes you watch NXT and you wouldn't think that. So it's just good to get this PC footage sometimes.
Yeah. And we guessed, I think, every single person who made the final 12.
Yeah, it's funny that.
Anyway, what came next, unsurprisingly, I think was the highlight of the show for me.
Right, okay.
So you've got No Quarter Catch crew invoking the catch clause. So you don't know who out of Dempsey, Bourne and Kemp are going to be representing in this tag match with Tyson and Tyreek. Mm-hmm. And they're all ready to go in the ring. And then they're suddenly looking around. Bloody hell's the ref? And it is announced that the referee for the match is unavailable. Luca Crucifino is there with some heavies, making sure everything goes right.
Yeah.
So... it's announced the guest referee for the match, Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Oh my God.
Huge pab in the Wilbourn household. He comes down with the rest of the family, and I'm like, well, that's ridiculous. You can't referee in a leather jacket. He unzips it, he's got a referee shirt underneath.
Oh my God.
Best ever guest referee. Never mind The Rock, HBK, Brett, Foley, Tyson. Better than all of them.
Put Stacks in that list.
Stone Cold, better.
Better. Yeah, like...
it was so funny.
He's a wrestler. He's a podcast guest. And now he's a referee. A third job. Like, what can't the guy do at this point?
He's also in the Mafia.
Oh, yeah. That's four. Stand-up comedian.
Five-tool player.
Five-tool player. I mean, we knew this anyway.
Yeah.
But just a lot of times people didn't know what the tools were. Well, now we're happy to explain them.
So they lock up initially. They go into the corner. Stacks just gets involved.
Seems very good.
Osborne starts arguing with him. I think DuPont gets tagged in, does a splash, and Stacks like one, two, like that.
Oh, nifal. Get him again.
There's a nice bit of work from Dempsey. He put an octopus submission on, I think it was DuPont, and he just that was also a nice spot from the new lads, because they a huge back body drop out of it. There's a double close slam and a power slam to Dempsey. One, two. So they're getting really angry at the ref at this point. And this was where he really came into his own. So Bourne takes out Tyson. Dempsey catches Tyreek with a German suplex. Bridges. And you know, sometimes you see the referee do that, like slide his hand to make sure that the shoulders are touching the mat. He does it with both shoulders at least twice whilst Booker T is pitching a fit.
He's
on
raging.
Commentary.
Yeah.
Whilst Vic Joseph, who's having a bit of a...
Teach the moment!
So he's just making sure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's new to this. Both shoulders are down, and therefore Stags counts. One. Two.
Nearly.
So, of course, Dempsey's furious, gets into Stax's face, shoves him. Stax just chins him. Roll up. One, two, three. Let's get out of here.
It goes against... Match was fine. Goes against all wrestling logic that the heels were put at a huge disadvantage by the babyfaces. But it goes against even more logic that mafiosos are babyfaces. So what do you get with two negatives? A positive. And this segment worked out really, really well.
And not many other shows that we would look into the digital exclusives and all the paraphernalia that goes around these shows. Uh-huh. But you and I did watch a video subsequent to the fact where they, again, closed off that logic hole by revealing that they locked a referee in a freezer.
You kind of have to go watch this, because they've basically found a freezer that looks a little bit like a hotel icebox.
Yes.
Like, and it's somehow the referee is inside there. Boo! It's good. Like, the referee has never looked warmer in his life.
Yeah.
Like, he's overacting to such an extent, but it's good stuff.
And,
it is good stuff.
Tony tells him to get himself something nice as well. 20.
It's the proper stuff, this. This is pro wrestling.
How do you follow that up with two other excellent performers? I'm talking about Chelsea Green and Ariana Grace. And Georgina, Gigi Dolin, sandwiched in the middle, hating her life. They are sat on this long bench. Green and Grace are at opposite ends. And as they slowly compliment each other, they squidge in closer until Gigi's just like, God, just a rose between two thorns, or whatever you want to describe it. They are both so ecstatic that each person's there.
Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grace calls it fabulous that Chelsea Green's here. Chelsea Green talks about all the bloody nightmare GM she's had to deal with. And they G each other up basically ahead of their matches. Grace says Green needs to win for every beauty pageant princess. Green says she has to win it for the locker room and for her. And they both agree they also need to win it for Georgina. And they skip off. And Gigi just says, I can't take this anymore. I'm done.
That feels like a bit of development for this character, doesn't it? Obviously, we're going to get Ariana Grace and Chelsea Green in sort of various other segments across this show, and indeed on the digital exclusive that we both very much enjoyed. But Georgina can't put up with this much longer. And you feel like maybe next week or the week after could be the breaking point, which is good because we've got the combine. It could be just in time for one of them to make it into the ladder match.
Yeah.
Theoretically, it should be Gigi Dolin. Otherwise, what the hell are we doing here at the Performance Centre? But we'll see.
I think she just gives up and joins them properly. Why fight it at this point?
I mean, is it that different to being in Toxic Attraction?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
And look what happened to the other one. I didn't realise quite how badly JC was smashed in the face by Thea Hale.
Cheers, you f*** around and find out.
Roxanne Perez is interviewed.
Kids will see this one day. I have to keep forgetting. Or if they don't watch it, like maybe one of their mates in the playground will or something.
What's it? It looks like a character from Roblox, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Can't decide if, like, the WWE logo is his mouth and it's going,
oh, yeah.
With a big smile or not, yeah. Or it's like wearing a snood, a WWE snood, covering the rest of his face.
Roxanne says she sent Lyra packing and she's going to do the same thing to Chelsea Green.
It's like, what is that? Nicholas has got a picture up and it's reminding me of something. It's a character like, in Toy Story, when Toy Story 3, when Mr. Potato Head becomes like a wrap for a bit and he's just got like floppy bread. Sorry, what are we talking about?
Meechin versus Ariana Grace.
Oh, yeah.
Again, Grace does not want to wrestle to start this match. She's pointing at Meechin, who grabs her hand and stamps on her foot. But this fires Grace up. Shoulder thrusts in the corner. Judo elbow suplex and elbow drop. I was like, so you can wrestle really well
you
when you
do this inside. If you absolutely have to, yeah.
Yeah.
Second generation star.
Meechin gets a sunset flip, but Ariana Grace sits down and grabs the ropes, but gets caught by the ref. So she lets go. Meechin gets a two count. Grace yells at the ref that she's ruining everything. Meechin eventually hits eat defeat for the 1-2-3.
Not a lot to this, but I think this was one of them like re-establishing matches that they sometimes give the wrestlers when they come back from the main roster. Meechin should look in kayfabe 10 times the wrestler that an Ariana Grace does. Not just because the character doesn't even like working, but the gap should be huge, and it was kind of illustrated here, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Thea Hales in the back with Ridge Bloody Holland. Thanks him for...
This was a weird night for this lot, wasn't it?
She thanks Ridge for checking up on her last week, and Ridge says he understands. She says that Mr. Chase is trying to calm her down, but she's got so much bloody passion. Mm-hmm. And Ridge says, you remind me of my daughter. And Chase and Duke Bloody Hudson walk up, congratulate Thea on her win last week. And Lexus King walks up and goes, why are you hanging around with these bunch of losers, Ridge? She reminds you of your daughter. Speaking of your daughter, he stops him before he can go any further.
Yeah.
And Duke stops Ridge before he can snap. Tells Lexus off, basically. And Lexi says, you just pissed off the king.
This was trash. I feel like somebody should say it in Sidgwick's absence. This was bad. I loved it. Right?
Yes.
It's maybe more... Let's discuss this more... in the post-match, because we get another one of these following the outcome. There's a developing story that I'm already bang into, but we need the match first to give you the consequences that followed.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Before we go any further, though, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, we all carry around different stressors. They can be big life worries or just, you know, little things like your favourite wrestler not being used properly. The thing is, when we keep them bottled up, it really can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. It is really helpful too for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. Therapy basically empowers you to be the best version of yourself. So why not give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and best of all, suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/whatculture today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, help.com/whatculture. Let's move on then to the super new positions.
Positions.
It's Noam Dar.
We do sessions with The Rock. Guys, boys, on jump.
Nora Med's the Jakara Jackson lash legend.
Do a better way to take your elbow pad off, look. I love that, Matt. Can you get his cash? Your cash or tickets are a bit pricey.
Ask me what my name is, look. Go on.
You're calling me a f***ing Mark? Oh, that's my name.
Get you a drink. Go on, coffee. Matt works in a pub too.
My final boss sometimes lets me finish early. Have a quick drink with the locals before we close up.
Anyway, Noam Dahl welcomes us to Supernova Sessions. He says, the dictionary defines trick as a scheme. And on that note, let's bring out our guest. And Lash
says, Jesus Christ.
Lash says,
it's poor that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Webster's dictionary defines.
It's like a best man speech of the day of the wedding. Oh, shit. Lash says he's a very special guest. And they bring out Trick Williams. He says, it must be nice to be you. And he says, yep.
And he's a very special what? Very special what? Very special scratch.
They've made him, they've got Kyle O'Reilly to make him a lovely video.
Yeah.
All about him and everything, all the great stuff he's doing in NXT. Going into a new era, putting the brand on his back. NXT's in good hands. Trick likes the video. And he does the whole, let's talk about it. And Dahl says, of course we're going to talk about it. We're on a talk show. It's his catchphrase.
What he does.
And they piss about for a bit. And Trick's like, I'm not here for games. What's in the envelope?
That's what I've arrived for. I'm only doing this to see what's in this frigging envelope.
And no, Dahl says, my show. I decide when it happens. Show him what's in the envelope. And... she says, time to reveal the truth. Go on, Lash. She's lost for a minute there.
She's making eyes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Snap out of it, says Jakara. And they show a photo of Trick Williams pinning Noam Dar, the start of his road to redemption, basically. Mm-hmm. But Dar's foot's under the ropes. Dar says, basically, everything you're built on is a lie. You're a no-good Trick. I'm going to expose you. Trick's like, is that it? And Nora's like, no, his leg's under the ropes. Which I thought was quite funny.
Yeah.
Your title reign's flawed, basically. And Trick says, I need to smack you back to the motherland. And then says, that's a trick question. Which is a new thing. And I like it already.
Just throwing Trick in where intersects wherever he can.
They're like, when can we get to Halloween?
No, silly rabbit. Trick Williams is for kids and adults and all the family here at WWE Live.
He says, you didn't have to go to all this effort to get a title match. All you had to do was ask.
Are they going to, if Trick and Lash get together on screen, obviously, are they going to just, rename Lash Treat so the NXT roster have to either dress up as Trick or Treat? For what's the show they typically do around October 31st?
It's NXT Halloween! Trick says... Lash Legends over here acting like it's the Maury show and I'm not the daddy. And it all gets a bit like, oh.
Yeah.
And Dahl's like, what's he talking about? Come on, keep up, Noah.
You've seen it.
And Trick says, do you want to tell him or shall I? And I'm like, what? What's this? She goes, babe. I mean, Trick. And I was
full sex.
And Trick says, Lash, you got nothing to be afraid of. Why don't you tell the people you call me Trick Willy Wonka?
In the course!
And she goes to leave and he stops her and there's a moment between the two of them. And then, Noam Dahl, I think you hit a Judas effect.
He absolutely killed him.
He's out cold.
It's like the frigging, Lacey Evans woman, right? Or the WMD by the Big Show. Noam Dahl's got that now. Trick is not moving.
Why haven't you used that before?
Because he just win the belt.
He's out cold, and Noam stares at Lash, picks up the title and holds it over him and stands tall.
Right, it feels...
I like this.
I like it too. On paper, I don't mean the photograph, Trick and Noam Dahl feels a little bit lightweight. The title, is in no doubt.
Yeah.
Less so than even a Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, for example. This challenge that we often talk about in wrestling of the first contender and how difficult it is. I really, really like the fact that they've got this little out. Whether or not it was put in place on purpose and they were mapping this out and making Noam Dar, just like keeping him warm for when Trick wins the belt, or they've gone to the trouble of finding something that tells them.
Yeah.
I really like that element of the photo thing. Yet again, wrestling just cannot help being wrestling. Two of my pet hates / favourite things are when heels refuse to notice blatant, I don't want to say sexual tension, blatant sex taking place between two characters, and then also pushing back on it for no discernible reason. Like, I am not going to let you, a consenting adult, him, another consenting adult. Why? I don't know yet.
I don't like it.
Oh,
that's disgusting.
The supernova line stinks of cum. It's one of you. It never bothers to ask why. Like, it's like, oh, like, imagine that. Imagine you wanted, like, the metaphor. It's like, oh, great news, guys. I'm seeing somebody. Oh, that's lovely. Like, who is it? Oh, it's Trick Williams, you know, from work. He's the world champion. He's having time. It's like, that's amazing. We'll have to go get beers. No, not in wrestling. Kill him.
I don't like it. But yeah, I like that. Predictable title defense, but also sex. We go back to the combine. This was the vertical jump and the broad jump.
Yeah, you had to, it's like a standing long jump that you couldn't fall over doing, otherwise you were...
Yeah, you couldn't step forward. We should do that in the office. Should we have an office combine?
We're not going to get very far.
What culture combine?
This is coming from the man whose wife, very generously, I should point out, just discovered a load of, like, extra chocolate in the Wilborn household and brought into work. There you go, lads. Just eat chocolate in the day. And then, like, Wilborn's like, brilliant. I fattened him up and then made him jump.
Yeah.
We're all sick. It was brilliant.
There's also a bit where you have to show your punch power. Meechan smashed it. Jada Parker won the section, though.
The counter robot fist that was like, you could see what, yeah. It's good, that.
And then...
Was this the Ivan El Cardio bit where, like, they
show? No, that's coming.
Oh, okay, I like that one.
Then.
Oh, my God.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is how you do a tease. Snoring against a black screen.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He's coming back. Wendy Chu's coming back.
And the idea that this was supposed to be set up for a big vignette and she fell asleep is instantly gutted. The character was classed the first time. It's going to be even better as I can dab around.
She's almost going to get the North American Championship. Oh, she's fell asleep atop a ladder.
You know when they do, like, the ladder platforms, like Jeff Hardy tried to walk across. She just falls
asleep. Ladder bridge, more like ladder bed.
Sometimes I feel more comfortable up in the sky.
There you go. I've not done this for ages. Check it out, man. I'm a spooky ghost. Natalya and Karma Petrovic are walking backstage, and Karma's apologizing for letting her down. Nat's like, don't worry. It's about finding your edge, about being the aggressor. Someone walks up and congratulates Natalya for a performance in NXT Underground, and then some other bellend walks up and says, don't worry about losing, Karma. You're still a smoke show. So she just roundhouse kicks his head off. And Natalya says, that's a start.
Whole thing was just normal backstage, this, isn't it? Like, what are the chances of two people in a row walking up and saying completely different things? Great stuff. Great stuff.
Fallon Henley.
It's what we watch for.
Yeah. Fallon Henley versus Kalani Jordan next. A good sort of fire from, like, Kalani this. Jordan here. She was pissed off with Fallon Henley early on. Hits her with a handspring elbow. But she comes back, stomps away at Kalani. But Jordan comes back. A flipping leg drop for two. But Henley sends a throat first into the ropes to take us to a break. We come back, Jordan kicks her down and hits MVP's play of the day.
Yep.
Seen that in ages.
No, and for a while it was one that everybody in bump class was taught. So it was nice to see that get a break for a bit.
They fight in the corner. A turnbuckle pad gets ripped off. Jordan eventually gets sent into it. Henley hits the Shining Wizard for the win.
Solid enough work, this. We've said before, I think that Jordan's really got something.
Yes, absolutely.
And I think for a while it was being obscured as the, she's the newcomer that just can't piece it together, and you weren't sure if it was part of the act or it was you were actually watching the development of someone. I think now it was clear that it was just part of the act. Like, she, as soon as she's been allowed to gew a little bit, you can see that she can. So that's quite exciting. But Fallon Henley had a good first night as a heel, I thought. This was, you know, a match that I kind of, in good faith, recommend people take time out of their day to watch, unless they're already choosing to watch NXT, of course, and you all should. But a good first night for her as a heel. There wasn't too many crazy changes to the character. This wasn't one of those NXT flick of the switch, right, I'm full of hatred now after a week. And I like that, because you want Fallon Henley deep, deep, deep down to be pure of heart. Because somewhere backstage, there's a Brooks Jensen looking on, wondering what the hell happened to those guys, and just hoping that the goodness within Fallon Henley and Josh Briggs will one day rise to the surface, if only for Brooks.
And Fallon comes first, that's what he's hoping most.
What, because he wants her to have success in her professional life?
Yeah, obviously. I don't know the other implications there.
Right, good, yeah.
Unless, no explanation.
I sort of forgot he was there for a minute. Summer-ready microphone.
Dempsey's fired up. He says, D'Angelo family, you want your Heritage Cup, Matt?
People are so crazy. See how big it is. I can't fit it in.
he says, D'Angelo family, you want your Heritage Cup match? You want your payment? Fine. But we've got all the power in the catch clause. I mean, it's 2 from 3. It's not that much of a surprise, is it?
Just, it's the frigging, the catch clause and the house rules need to go, don't they? Like, Goth Gallus and frigging Gallus 2. Like, I forgot what even called Piss Gallus, are they?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Isn't it just preparing for three people?
Yeah, it's two of those three. Ooh.
Well, no, one of the three, I suppose, technically in a Heritage Cup match.
Yeah, aye.
Yeah.
But, so... Like, they just prepped for all three.
I take a guess, despite things that happened later on, it was always going to be Charlie Dempsey.
Yeah. Aye.
Anyway, he says, how does it feel to have none of the power? We'll see about that. Time for the strength and conditioning portion of the combine. Lash Legend hoid that medicine ball bloody miles.
Kicked ass. I'm telling you, man, I could watch more of these clips. If they put them on YouTube in full, I'll just sit and watch them. They're incredible, incredible athletes, these people. Amazing.
Ren Sinclair looked good as well.
Sure she did.
The ISO mid-thigh pull was good from Meechin, but Izzy Dame won that one. And then there was several different cardiovascular fitness drills for the conditioning gauntlet. Ivy Nile just smashed it.
It was great, this, because obviously, I have no doubt that Ivy Nile would be like incredible at these cardio activities. But the way they edited it, it was like they just filmed them all like trying to hit the wall or whatever it was. And then Ivy Nile just steps off the machine with that brigade of sweat. Yes. It's just like, oh, good to go, what are you doing next? It was so
believable as well.
That was it. Like, it looked in theory like it was going to be so preposterous. Then she just like, oh yeah, whatever's next. It's like fantastic. She's been on the main roster now.
Yeah.
You have to treat her like she's got more, like... The origin of Ivy Nile and the Creeds.
She used to come in and just hold herself up on the corner, didn't she? Yeah.
Feats of strength and sort of physical, like sort of fitness like this. So she should nail this kind of thing. I hope they put her in the match.
So advancing from the combine, this is the 12 that will go into 6 qualifiers for the 6 people in the North America, Women's North American title match. Goes down at Battleground. I don't want to affect his outfit now.
Okay. What is it without the outfit? I've forgotten.
It's NXT Battleground. You're grounded. Battlegrounded.
Where is it?
You're a winner. Ding, 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 ding.
Were you going to go, yeah, yeah, yeah? Because that would be stupid.
Yeah. Sol Ruka, number one.
Yeah.
Thea Hale, who we forgot to mention, but we all assumed she was going to be in it. Jada Parker. Brinley Reese, as we talked about yesterday. Meechin, Fallon Henley, Lash Legend, Ivy Nile, Izzy Dame, Kalani Jordan, Tatum Paxley, and Ren Sinclair. Qualifiers begin next week.
Great GMing. Like, the 12 most prominent figures on your female roster happen to win the combine.
Where's the Riz?
Look, the Riz had other things on the go.
Good
tonight.
Point.
That's fine.
Lexis King versus Duke Bloody Hudson next. I'll just skip to the finish, shall I? Yes, back please. And forth.
It was no good as well. It was rubbish.
But the ending was class, because Alexis King is out on the floor, starts yelling at Thea Hale. Andre Chase is like, chill out. Or Andre just steps to him, actually, more. And Alexis King begs off, starts walking up the ramp. Who's coming down the ramp, though? Ridge Bloody Holland with a chair. Oh, Ridge, you've taken it too far again.
Are you happy to be violent now? Like, are you sad?
He chases King into the ring. Andre Chase is like, don't do it. Ridge Holland goes, no worries, I'll just slide the chair in. Does that.
I'll just leave this here. See you later, guys.
I think, Hudson goes to pick up the chair. The referee's like, you can't use that. And he's in the middle of getting rid of it when and Hudson's distracted by all that when King swoops in, super kick, coronation, and he wins again, the sneaky bastard.
Like, King didn't cheat enough here, did he?
No, I thought we were going to do like a proper... you're not concentrating.
Yeah, a bit like... So, like, the earlier on with Stax as the ref, the babyface were cheats. Here, they were idiots. But obviously, we don't necessarily know of Ridge's full intentions.
Well, should we talk about that now, actually?
Yes, please, yeah. I love this segment. Maybe my favourite on the show this
time. A little bit later on, Thea's flipping out backstage about Lexus King. Mm-hmm. Ridge walks up and apologises. She says, look, you got every right to be mad at me. But Duke's like, no.
You remind me of my daughter. Yeah, you've done that one, Ridge.
Duke's like, no, don't worry. We know it's Lexus King. And he says, but they say, well, buy dinner.
Yep.
It's even. Riley Osborne goes, Leopard, no changes at the spot.
Love this.
And Ridge is like, I got to earn your respect.
No, he didn't, right? Ridge is like, hey, lads, I'm so, so bloody sorry. I'm so bloody sorry. I'll do anything. I'll do out to make it up to you. I don't care. Whatever it is, I just want to prove myself. And then they're like, buy us dinner. He's like, no problem. Anything at all. And then he's like, yeah, Riley Osborne's like, Leopard never changed his spots, mate. He's like, well, what more do you want? It's like, hang on. You pivoted pretty quick. I don't think I trust you either. You're going to lace the food. Jace, you've got shit. Now to do with me.
Yeah.
It's really good stuff. It is good. What's going on here?
Like, I can't wait to tell Sid about this next week.
Is he going to like, are they going to be back in class next week? And like the sort of class, we have a new student today and he's given the Chase U jersey for the first time. And then like Riley Osborne's looking on like, I don't trust him. I do not like him one bit. Like, I suppose they can't, unfortunately, because he's done that. She reminds me of my daughter. They can't do the romantic thing because if he was trying to move in on Thea Hill.
So many ideas. I've got so many. I had one there.
Fizzing with creativity.
They have like a puzzle on the board.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Maybe it'd have to be like a wrestling question, wouldn't it, rather than like an equation?
Yeah. But otherwise, that'd be stupid.
Yeah. Thea Hale's buzzing because she's got the right answer. She's written it in. And Ridge Holland comes in just before Mr. Chase does. Mm. He's got to squeeze past the board and he rubs it out. And Thea Hale's like, I've got the answer. So, it's gone again.
Like, they're all sort of going into class. And he's like, class, please pull up a chair and let us begin. And Ridge just, like, takes it away as before. I was like, oh, bloody hell, I've done it again. And he's holding the weapon.
He comes in, oh, he's bloody starving. I missed breakfast. My alarm didn't go off. Oh, thank goodness there's an apple here. Sir, did you get the apple I left on your desk? Oh, no.
Because the Ridge,
some bips just fall out.
Apple goes everywhere. But me. Riley Osborne. Told you.
Let me know, James, it's spots.
What more do you want?
Oh, more.
What Sean Spears got to do with this? Like, where does
yeah.
Is he controlling all this?
Maybe he's a substitute teacher.
Oh, my God. Today's class, counting. 10.
1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. End of song.
In amongst all this, no, I'm drawing the gang are leaving. And they said, what happened back there then? And he said, I knocked Trigg's lights out. And they're like, no, Lash Legend. And he just walks off. And then Javon Evans gets into it with them for some reason.
I just thought everyone's so thick. What happened back there then? Well, they're having full sex. That is evident.
Chelsea Green's on her way to the ring. But before she gets there, she walks past someone. And I recognise them, actually. It was Von Wagner's old manager. But his name completely escapes me, actually. So, any ideas? Any ideas?
Robert Stone. How do you...
Whoa! Wait a second.
Yes! Robert Stone.
That's what you pay the big bucks for.
Save this one for the awards folder. You know, like, some podcasts call themselves the number one wrestling podcast in the UK. Some podcasts f***ing are.
We live it. We live it.
You can't just put a f***ing label on your frigging poster and say that you are. You've got to earn it. Yeah?
Thea Hale's spunky, isn't she? That's Jasmine Nix's words.
Not Wilbur. Which I mean, she's got a lot of energy, right?
Yeah, that's what I read into it. Jasmine,
see? Number one.
Jasmine Nix says she's an animal, not a leopard. That'd be that'd be Ridge Holland. But she's an animal with no remorse. I didn't realise she'd pop.
Imagine if he's like, hey, guys, you know what they say, a leopard never changes its spots. He's like, dude, we've not done animals and chase you yet.
Go to the zoo.
What's a leopard? Is that like a dog?
Big dog.
Big dog.
I can picture a Dalmatian, but yellow, basically.
It's like Thea Hill does it, but she gets it wrong. You know what they say, a leopard never changes its stripes. Isn't that right? You're so close here.
I brought a leopard in.
There's a fucking leopard loose.
Show and tell.
NXT's on edge this week because there's a leopard in the building. I was at that show in Philadelphia where that wolf turned up.
Yeah.
No, it was like a real wolf turned up at Murder Mania's Philadelphia. So a leopard at NXT feels like the next level. WWE have seen what are the indies doing these days? Well, we've gobbled up all the best workers. Will Ospreay is doing the best flippy stuff. So, like, leopard in the building? Ridge Holland's got to hit it with a chair.
No, he's got on a tranquilizer. Dawson's choose the wrong person, huh?
Oh, bloody hell. She's 100 chairs.
She shot at JC James.
Nick, who's that on the podium? Does he want a title shot? I don't know, Buck. It's a leopard.
Do you want anything from DoorDash while I'm at it?
The leopard's got a chair in its mouth. But who's it going to hit?
Hey, it smashed the combine. It's qualified for a
go back to the combine. Everybody's cleared out when the leopard's doing vertical leaps. Well, we're going to have to put it through.
Rules are rules. Top 12.
Ava Rain just going, yes, very good. Leopard.
She shattered JC Jane's nose. I didn't even realise
this. This looked rough. Aye, this did look rough. Fair play.
All accidental, obviously.
Get well soon. She's become one of our proper favourites. Oh, it's a f***ing leopard. I'm absolutely pissing sweaty, am I? God.
Main event time. Oh, no, sorry. I forgot before that Shawn Michaels reiterated his invite to Drake and Kendrick Lamar to settle their beef on NXT.
Did you hear Vic Joseph attaching law? Oh, well, Buck, our boss knows something about beefing with Canadians.
Is this sexy red? They showed a sexy red tweet as well during this show as well. She was talking about supernovas. Random.
I am too old for this show.
But we'll see. Maybe
don't invite Brett. If you want to beef with Canadians, get him in and teach some of them how to work.
Main event time. It was the NXT Women's Championship on the line. Roxanne Perez versus Chelsea Green. I was slightly disappointed that they didn't go for that when they announced her, but also only one person can really pull that introduction off.
That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
That and the Ludwig Kaiser thing that we were watching this morning.
There is a supercut out there, if you haven't seen it, of...
Ludwig Kaiser.
But you get so many of them together, and after a while, no other words make sense.
No.
So I would recommend that.
Chelsea Green got a roll-up straight out of the gate, which I thought was really funny, because Roxanne Perez was like, I almost lost my title there.
I quite like this match.
Wasn't ready, yeah.
Whisper it, I quite enjoyed this.
Roxy was just pissed off with her, straight out of that. Grabbed her by the hair, sent her into the corner. They get broken up, and then Roxy just slaps the taste out of her mouth, and we go to a break. Roxy's in control out of that. She's like talking trash, shoving her head with a boot. Goes for a Russian leg sweep. Green counters that, though. Green comes back eventually with a kick across the ring and a Rough Rider.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Good
her husband
stuff.
Does that.
He does.
Class in NXT, wouldn't he?
Well, have you seen he's made himself, I think, this could be a story.
I know he's injured. Let me get well soon.
I'm sure while he's injured, he's made himself the general manager of GCW.
Has he?
That's good stuff. Yeah.
For the finish, basically, Green tries to go up top, gets tripped. There's like a super Rana from Roxanne Perez. Green got a missile dropkick for a nice near fall. But then Perez countered the unprettier, got sent into the ropes and bounced off and went for Pop Rocks. It didn't quite hit the way they were hoping for, but it was a Pop Rocks. 1-2-3, Roxanne Perez retains the NXT women's title.
Yeah, it was a shame that sort of like flash Pop Rock she was going for didn't really look that effective. It looked more like a sunset flip, didn't it, than the actual sunset flip bomb that she hits normally. Because the rest of this, I thought, was quite strong. It was just the agenting I was really impressed with here. You kind of realised halfway through that you were watching, as a nice NXT main event as this was, you were sort of watching a test, weren't you? Like, they were wanting Roxanne Perez to be the dominant heel and to see simultaneously if Chelsea Green can like do the babyface fire up stuff for the day that comes on the main roster when she's no longer playing the character she currently portrays. Both were believable.
Yeah.
If this was a match that you would have like 9 times out of 10 flipped the alignment off to make sense of it. A dominant kind of cheating heel looking for every shortcut versus one of the best underdog babyfaces on the roster. And they inverted it and it worked. I was impressed. Again, you see these things, you're like, WWE is pretty stupid sometimes because why don't you just keep them where they're best naturally fit? But it did work. I genuinely like this. We're not going to get a chance to review it, so might as well drop it in here. We got another tremendous digital exclusive.
Yes, if you've seen this. Yeah, they are both crying, telling each other how pretty they are. Yeah. Ariana Grace does a brilliant, they cheated! But they say, don't worry, we're rich, we're sparkly, and everyone loves us. And I think there's a button for this.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
Couldn't agree more with old Bobby there. There's a bit in this video. It's 30 seconds long. It's on the NXT official Twitter account or wherever it is. And honestly, genuinely great timing from Ariana Grace here. Like, they're crying. It's ridiculous. And they both sort of scream, wah, at the same time, like wail sort of thing. That sounded like the loudest cry ever, didn't it? Which is pretty much what they do. And then there's like a gap where in real life, you imagine they're waiting for the director to say, cut, that's great. And Ariana Grace seems to time it just before that director goes, okay, cut, we're out. So it's like, wah, silence. It goes even louder. And you're like, that's good stuff.
Right.
Pop me at my desk when I didn't want to. So she got me there.
I love them as a tag team.
Yeah, keep them around.
Nothing against piping in about this. She can just go and kick ass on her own because she's awesome.
Ah, Charles Green can do both. Valuable. She, did you hear where, I can never remember his name, but she's come up with a bit like remember the 10th of May. She's come up with like that thing that you just can't forget.
Yes.
Because I can never remember SmackDown GM's name, you see. But Nicholas Prickles.
It's not good day for Nicholas's, is it?
It's not, you're right, no.
What's it called? Nicholas Dickers.
Oh, God, I don't like.
What? Flair, the video of Flair in that restaurant's come out and he calls him Nicholas Dickhead.
Like, what's your name, son? He's like, Nicholas. Nicholas what? Nicholas Dickhead. And, come on. Ric Flair, that's poor form.
I like when he offers someone out and the bloke goes, all right, I'll take you up. And he goes, no, obviously.
I'll give you a grand to call him an arsehole or something. Mm. It's not great footage. That's not dampen the vibe of NXT.
No. There was a happier end to the show.
Yes, thank God.
Because I was thinking, it's a bit of a weird, you know, just, Roxanne Perez. You know, we all thought Roxanne Perez was going to retain, but I thought maybe someone was going to come in or whatever.
Yeah.
Even better, we cut outside and there's another family kidnapping happening.
Nightmare when that happens. Isn't
yeah. Damon Kemp and Miles Bourne are getting the crap beaten out of them by Stax and Tony D, shoving him in the boot. Tony turns around and says,
oh, you think you're in control, Charlie? You think you're in control? How about that catch clause now, Sir Charles? Come on, let's go. And they speed off.
And then Charlie Dempsey walks out and goes, well, bloody hell is everyone.
And obviously, because it's this invisible camera, you can't have the camera going, well, I went that way and they stuffed your mates in the car. So he just left out in the cold wondering what went on with the exact person that could tell him.
And it's the Heritage Cup next week.
The stakes feeling high, aren't they, considering how useless this trophy is?
I can't sleep. I'm so excited.
It's bigger than the world title, you said, didn't you?
Yeah.
What's your take on this?
It's physically bigger and just generally considered to be. Like, there's a very limited number of, loads of people have been NXT champion. Heritage Cup, that is not as big a list.
little more to add. Let's wrap this podcast up, shall we?
Mm. Before we do that, actually, I'm feeling a bit low on energy. I've been very giddy today.
Well, that's good because we're at the end of the podcast. Yeah, but you can
I'm so... Ugh. You know how I get a bit tired.
I've literally never seen that. I've traveled around the world with you and I've never seen that.
Well, I'm just going to go...
Nicholas saw it once.
Yeah, Nicholas saw it once in LA. I remember that. You having a good time in LA? Yep.
Them sure are letters on hill.
Remember Faustino Espria? Yep. Anyway, before we wrap up, I'm going to go and get... And also before Phil Chambers gobbles it all, I'm going to go and get a tiny bit of the chocolate from downstairs. So let's have your predictions as to what you think happens in the Heritage Cup match next week. I'll be back in a minute.
Viewers, listeners, yet again, Wilborn has shown his unprofessionalism, not in leaving so soon before the end of the podcast, but using the word gobbles when he knew it was designed to pop me when I've now got to speak to camera because he's decided to walk out of the studio when we've got nothing left to really discuss other than to get excited, of course, about the Heritage Cup next week, of which I am, what with Stax, our friend, corrupting the situation. You know.
Where the hell is everybody?
Hey, Stax.
How's it going, huh? What do you think?
Threads. You got straight on the plane from work.
Exactly. Don't watch the digital exclusive where I actually give the shine back to the referee.
I was just going to ask about that. Yeah,
doesn't
it's
matter. What do you think of the old refereeing performance, Hampley?
I thought you were fantastic. I wouldn't normally say somebody looks good in those colours, but today, Stax, you look fine. You did a great job.
Well, this guy.
That's our colleague, Microphone.
Nice to meet you, Mikey. How's it going? Oh, God. I killed a guy. That's happening again.
You know I'm dark.
Hey, Hamlet, special day today, of course.
Uh-huh.
Not just what happened last night, but happy National Coconut Cream Pie Day. You know Stax loves a cream pie.
What did you Google to find out that was today's day, Stax?
I just got it in my Rolodex, my calendar.
In your regular Google searches, terms, yeah.
May 8th, I got it cycled, National Coconut Cream Pie Day. May 9th is, of course, I know about the podcast section going out on the What Culture Wrestling Podcast YouTube channel. Then Friday, I got nothing.
Well, right. There's a catchphrase that's kind of sweeping the nation, but I guess not your nation just yet.
Not yet.
For Friday, Stax, remember the 10th of May, because you'll be able to watch the What Culture live show. It's Always Sunny in What Culture from Philadelphia.
What a show that was.
It was a great show. I'm trying to remember if you were there for it or not.
I believe I may have made an appearance.
Well, people can see your appearance on that show if they remember the 10th of May.
Evelyn, what's the deal with coconuts?
Oh, that's the search term you're picking for. Coconut stacks. They've got like sort of wiry hair. They're round. They produce milk. They're not like me when my children were young. They're a fruit, believe it or not.
Oh!
Not the only nut that is, in fact, a fruit. Care to guess what else might be a fruit masquerading as our nut?
Peanut!
You were not wrong, but I was thinking of our friend, the cashew.
Oh!
We can all Google things.
I got two cashews on my feet today.
We didn't plan this. And that's why we're number one.
So,
stop lying to your f***ing listeners.
Just write that down for Willie. Just quite a bit of work for him today.
I don't like liars, Stax.
That's fair. So coconuts, anyway.
Coconuts. Yeah, coconuts.
You know, my missus and I are actually big believers in using coconut oil as lube. It's been very good for us, but the problem is now when I eat macaroons, I get a boner. So, three questions, three jokes, and then a little chat up line for anybody who's a fan of coconuts to come. have a question. Joke number one.
Yeah.
How do you kill a guy with a coconut allergy?
Oh, right. Well, I mean, you'll know the answer to this probably from your second life. I would normally confer with Sige. He's not here. He's poorly. You've knocked out microphone.
Sorry, Mike.
So can I have the setup again, please?
How do you kill a guy with a coconut allergy? Huh?
Coconut allergy. So, It's easy because they're very shy.
Good night, right?
Shy?
How do you kill a guy with a coconut allergy? You put a bounty on his head.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Do you know who would love that joke, Stacks?
Who's that?
Wilborn. He's downstairs with Phil at the moment. Every now and then.
I ain't seen him yesterday.
Yeah, you keep missing him on these Wednesdays.
God damn it.
Whenever people bring in a box of celebrations, often around Christmases or birthdays and that, like any normal family, group of friends, workplace, the last ones there are the bounties. Like, he wouldn't like me saying this, but he's not here, so he won't hear me. Take only me the mind. Freaks and losers choose the bounties, and Wilborn, they're like Wilborn's favourite.
Yeah.
And like, all the time, I just want to get in his face and be like, what's your f***ing problem, Wilborn? But he's always, like, so defensive about it. And it's like, I love that we get to have this crack when he's
me
not allowed.
Too.
I've been waiting to get this out of my system for a long time.
Goddamn too.
Who would go for the bounty?
I don't know. I mean, some people kind of prefer it, but, you know, each their own. Like question joke number two. What is brown hairy and wears sunglasses?
I mean, I don't know. I sense the arena in which this punchline could exist, but I'm going to let you deliver it.
What's brown hairy and wears sunglasses? Not Michael Sidgwick. A coconut on vacation. Picture that, huh?
That's all I'm picturing.
Final question, final joke for you, and then that nice chat-up line you can use if people like coconuts. What did the hurricane say to the coconut tree?
Hurricane say to the coconut tree. I've got something here. No. Do you want me to blow your nuts off?
Oh, so goddamn close!
It doesn't totally work.
What does a hurricane say to the coconut tree? Hold on to your nuts. This ain't an ordinary blowjob, huh? Now a little chat-up line for anybody who,
A hurricane speaker there. Indeed. Filthy hurricanes. No. I've got a question for you, Stax. How does a hurricane know about oral sex?
Ask me. Little chat-up line for you, though. You're in the club, and you see a girl, and you want to slip her a line. Well, why not try this one on for size? You okay. Go over and you say, hey, baby, you a coconut? Hey, baby, you a coconut? Because I want to smash you until the white stuff comes out. See you later, guys.
Oh, God. Oh, I've got this. Sorry, I apologize on this camera, guys. I saw wrong. Bye, Stax.
Oh.
Oh, you again? You just missed him.
That was delicious.
Hang on, I forgot why you left.
I went to get some chocolate.
All right, okay. What
did I miss?
Not a lot. Did you enjoy your chocolates?
Yeah, it was lovely. I might get some more chocolates on the way home. I might get a bounty. Love a bounty, me.
You love bounties.
I have them.
You?
If anything, I have them first in one of those boxes.
It's great.
Anything you want to say to me about that, or?
Yeah, I think it's cool that there's always like different flavors for different members of the friends and family. Yeah.
Right, let us know your thoughts on XC. This has been a roller coaster, hasn't it?
Walking in. I'm back. Fresher than ever.
Let us know your thoughts on just everything in the comments or on X at WhatCultureWW. Actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. You can follow Michael Sidgwick and send him your Get Well Soon messages at M Sidgwick. Follow our brilliant producer at It's Adam Nicholas. And follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. Make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. A far more serious preview of AEW Dynamite is available right now. Dad's not here, so check that out if you want. And we'll be back next week to preview and review NXT, fingers crossed, Tony D'Angelo, new Heritage Cup champion, eh? Oh, and tomorrow, Thursday, 6 p.m., is it? Yeah. 6 p.m.
Is it? Is it?
6 p.m.
Is it? Six.
The podcast section of our live show is going to go out on the What Culture Wrestling podcast channel. And then on Friday, remember,
the 10th of May.
At 3 p.m., the full live show, It's Always Sunny at What Culture, goes out on the What Culture Wrestling YouTube channel. But for now, this has been the NXT review. My thanks to Hamlet, to Microphone, to Stacks. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.